Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Joe Patrick on Football. My name is Joe Patrick. I cover the Falcons for 92.9 The Game. And, you know, things are heating up. Things are getting spicy. We're like 4 days away as I record this right now from the Falcons opening their season at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a long way today for myself, for you guys, I know, for the country in general, for that first NFL Sunday. We do get NFL kicking off tonight, so we do get our little taste. But unless you're in the Philadelphia or Dallas markets, or you're a fan of one of those teams, you'll have to wait a few more days to see your team play. But man, it's getting exciting. You know, it's fun to be out there at the training facility yesterday to, you know, take in what the players were saying. And it's always interesting for me. This is my first time being back since cuts had happened. So you see the trimmed down roster, you just see fewer people out there, obviously no fans or any of this training camp stuff. And it just, you know, feels like we're back into football, back into the grind of what is going to be a long season, hopefully a successful one for the Atlanta Falcons, which we'll start to talk about a little bit as we get into some of the things that the players discussed. That's what we're going to do typically on these Thursday episodes, just kind of get into, you know, what I experienced at the training ground. We obviously have some news to cover and things like that with regards to injuries. So, but first, before we get into that stuff, I do want to do a little bit of housekeeping and promotion here, which I don't tend to do. I always forget to do this. I'm still new to the YouTube thing. So if you are watching us on YouTube, please just click like if you like. I know you haven't listened to this episode yet, but if you just appreciate what we're doing here at 92.9 The Game, would love for you to click the like button on that and subscribe at 92.9 The Game if you're following this. You can just, you know, it's like two taps, pop, pop. And, you know, we're going to have a lot more coming on 92.9 The Game's YouTube channel as well. Hopefully we'll get our shows up. We'll get some more of that content coming up in the near future here. There are technological workings in the process, and it should be an exciting time during this Falcons football season. You can also follow the podcast or follow the show on podcast form. Just follow us wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's on the Odyssey app or wherever. Just search Joe Patrick on football. It'll pop up. You can also follow me at JAPatrick200 on social media, on Twitter, really, or X is where I'm, you know, posting Falcon stuff. And finally, to, you know, to promote the show that I'll be on on Sunday mornings, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show with my friend Andy Bunker, who hosts Andy and Randy middays on 92.9 The Game. We'll be doing it together from the bridge over Centennial Yards. It's like a blue and green bridge, and we'll be somewhere in that vicinity. So if you are in the area on game days during Falcons home games, stop by and say hi. If you are, you know, still in the car at that point from 9 to 11 a.m., you know, flip us on the radio. We'll be talking about the game and what's going down. And similarly for away games, we'll be on that same time frame, just like 4 hours to 2 hours before kickoff, whenever the team is playing. So just check us out, and then we lead right into the pregame show. And then you got Wes and Dave on the call for the game on the Falcons radio network. And then Chris Thomas with the flyover after the postgame show that Mike Johnson and Grant McCauley will be doing. So we got a great lineup for you guys covering the Falcons all season long on 92.9 The Game. So definitely check all of us out. Now let's get into some of the news. I think really the only major news around the Falcons this week heading into this first game is the status of Darnell Mooney, which is, you know, just a fascinating saga that this has been from literally the first day of training camp. He dives for a football down the field, comes down hard on his shoulder, nearly caught that ball. Probably would have caught the ball, honestly, if he hadn't hurt his shoulder on the play and kind of jarred it loose. But anyway, so it's been like kind of a road back for him. He obviously kind of came back onto the practice field. Gosh, I guess it was a little over a week ago today. It was early last week, I believe, was when he kind of started getting his first touches on the grass. And yesterday was my first day, Wednesday was my first day to get a look at him. And I got to say, he looked really good, like just the way he was running. And Zach Robinson mentioned this in the press conference that he had after practice yesterday, but basically said the same things that I'm going to be saying. But I can tell you that I can verify it, having seen him with my own eyes, not necessarily running the routes that he was running with the team and whatever, but I was just seeing him run routes and individual drills. And then they were doing some things where they were just throwing some bombs basically to some of these receivers who were running, you know, doing 50 yard sprints down the field, catching the ball in the end zone from Michael Penix. And, you know, Mooney was looking full speed in that sense. And it's something that we talked about on the show that we kind of expected from him, considering it was an upper body injury, you know, in terms of the legs being fresh and being conditioned and all that. That all certainly seemed to check out to me, to my eye. And based on what Raheem Morris said, it sounds to me like it is, they need medical clearance. They don't have medical clearance for him yet to play. And to me, if you're just waiting for medical clearance on a shoulder injury, that to me suggests that they're just not certain whether the injury is healed up enough for him to basically take contact, and not just to take contact from opponents, but, you know, from take contact from the ground, like the way that he got hurt. And so I think that that's the big question mark. Last time we kind of speculated about his status earlier this week, you know, I was feeling relatively confident about his status, or especially his ability to go into the game if he was able to play. I think my opinion has slightly changed. Has not changed in whether I think his ability to perform will be up to snuff if he is able to play. I do think I'm a little bit more pessimistic at this point in time that he will actually get that medical clearance. And that's, I say that only just based on the circumstantial evidence that we have and based on the way that coaches tend to talk about these things. You know, if you're saying that, you know, we're going to wait up till kickoff to basically see if we get that clearance, I don't know. To me, that makes it skeptical. Like, how often are you actually getting the clearance for a player to be able to play and then kind of have contact and stuff for the first time, basically, right up until game time? Could this change? Could absolutely change. Maybe they do get the clearance. And if he is clear to play, if he's a full participant in practice at any point, I think he's playing. As long as he gets that clearance. But, you know, just based on where things stand now, I don't think you can kind of consider him as being part of the group. But, you know, again, that could change at any point in time. But as of right now, I'm a little bit more pessimistic than maybe I was about him actually being active for the game and playing in the game than I was a few days ago, just based on what we heard from Raheem Morris. And I guess my own preconceived conceptions about just how these things tend to play out in general. So I guess that's kind of good and bad news for Mooney and his ability to help the team this week. But, you know, Tampa Bay has got a lot of other injury issues as well. Just to kind of finish up, because Mooney's not the only guy with an injury concern for the Falcons. Clark Phillips was also listed as a limited participant, still dealing with that rib injury that he suffered right before the team's intra-squad scrimmage. So he hasn't really participated in any of like the competitive portions of training camp, really. Well, not to say that the practices before that intra-squad scrimmage weren't competitive, but I just mean, like, you know, that was a game like simulation, that intra-squad scrimmage. So he did not participate in that. I believe it was the practice before that he suffered this rib injury and then didn't play in any of the preseason. But he is at least limited and back on the grass at this point. So we'll see if he is able to play a part in this one coming up. DeMarco Helms also notably did not practice with a hamstring injury. And Jack Nelson did not practice with what is listed as a calf injury. Jack Nelson obviously being one of those guys who is providing depth at that right tackle spot at this point in time on the 53-man roster. Although I don't know how confident anyone is, the coaching staff included, as to whether, how well he'd be able to perform if he were to be called upon. But as we've talked about, Elijah Wilkinson is going to be that guy. And I would imagine that Michael Jurrell is going to be basically the swing tackle for this team and would be needed at right tackle if something were to happen to Elijah. But they certainly have at this point plenty of pieces to move around on the offensive front. For Tampa Bay, it's pretty bad. There are some injuries that we knew about, like Chris Godwin Jr., Tristan Wirfs are going to be out. Jalen McMillan, I believe, is he on IR? I'm not sure. I believe he's out. Cade Otton was one that we heard a couple weeks ago that he was likely going to miss week one. He wasn't limited in practice yesterday with a groin injury, so I think his status is up in the air. But just kind of, oh, and then one other one that was notable, or a couple of more that were notable on their injury reports from Tampa, were Hassan Reddick missing practice with a personal non-injury related issue. Hassan Reddick, who had his own, you know, missed plenty of time last year with the Jets for non-injury related salary reasons, contract reasons. And then Vita Vea missing with a foot injury. You know, Vita Vea is one of those guys who, since I've been covering this team in the NFL for a few years now, it feels like every time the Falcons play the Buccaneers, Vita Vea is on the injury lists. And, you know, he has, there have been times where he has played. There have been times when he hasn't played. He usually plays, but I think just down to his size and the way that they like to manage him, feels like he's one of those guys who's always going to kind of be on the injury report to some extent at some point. And the Falcons probably will have definitely more players who get added to this injury report, probably because later in the week they will rest guys and then those guys will be put on the injury report as well. Just to kind of go through the rest of the Bucs injuries, Christian Izian, I don't know how to pronounce that name. He did not practice. Talked about all the other guys who didn't practice: Reddick, Vea, Wirfs, Godwin, and then Ben Morris, the rookie corner, was limited yesterday. We talked about Otten, Josh Hayes, another cornerback, was a full participant, and Sean Tucker, the running back, was a full participant. So they go for the Bucs. They got their own issues to deal with as well. Lastly, I just want to, you know, give you guys some insights on, you know, what we were hearing from some of the players, some of the things that caught my eye, or just some observations I made when we were talking to some of the guys yesterday. And then we'll get out of here. It won't be too long of a show. Tomorrow we'll be just kind of breaking down the game a little bit, talking about the X's and O's and different ways that things could play out. So stay tuned for that one. Xavier Watts, talked to him. Talked to a lot of the rookies that are going to be going out there and playing for the first time, playing their first NFL games. And they're obviously really excited about it. You know, it's just a special moment for them and their lives and everything. But something that Xavier Watts said, you know, having won the starting safety job, it's kind of funny. He said he was just, I don't know how people imagine these things. I certainly imagined it being something a lot more glamorous, the way he was told he won the job, other than he said the safeties coach in their morning meeting at 7:40 when they walked in, he was like, yep, you're the starting safety. So there you go. And it was not a big thing at all. But, you know, he said that he did then call his dad and his parents and talk to them and kind of had that celebratory moment with them. But a line that he said that caught my ear was that he was just talking about, you know, the influence that the young players are having on this defense. And he said that, you know, we just, especially he was talking in the secondary about himself and Billy Bowman in particular, as guys who just play with their hair on fire and kind of go crash out. And that's kind of, you know, the crash out crew is, you know, what they've kind of coined themselves as over the last couple of years. And I think that they seem to fit into that. It's kind of funny with Watts in particular, because he's a very soft spoken guy, like very mild mannered, very professional in that sense. Could read you a nighttime story and put you to sleep probably, but certainly when he gets on the field, he is a totally different type of guy. And I think that's what a lot of people want to see, especially from the secondary this year, when you talk about playing with your hair on fire and things like that, because, you know, based on last year with the scheme that they were running under Jimmy Lake, it felt like the opposite. I think the players wanted to play in a more aggressive way where they could show this ability to, quote, play with their hair on fire, but they were just, you know, lined up 8 yards off the receivers so often. They just, you know, were not able to really impose themselves, especially physically, on their opponents. I think it's one of the reasons why they were one of the worst third down teams in the NFL, one of the worst third down defenses in the NFL last year. So, you know, I think exciting things. Exciting to hear the players talk about themselves like that. And Jalen Walker, another rookie who was one of the first round draft picks. We didn't talk to James Pierce Jr. yesterday, but we did talk to Jalen. He's totally fired up, ready to go. He's going to be a full go. Raheem Morris reiterated this. And, you know, we talked about this, that, you know, a lot of him being held out during portions of training camp were down to the team just being very careful with him. He's had these soft tissue stuff, and so you never want to push it with players, especially rookies. I feel like they always want to really impress in that opening training camp and are going to kind of not think so much about their bodies, you know, in a kind of a selfless way, you know, because they want to impress coaches, they want to impress their teammates, and they're willing to put themselves through pain and, frankly, risk further injury when they do that. So I think Raheem Morris was smart to be quick to pull them back and not let themselves get into that position. But there was one moment where Jalen was asked about the rookie class, because there's going to be, you know, four of them getting plenty of playing time for this defense on the field. And he just said, all I have to say is we drafted well. And then he gave like a like a chuckle. And it's something that it felt very genuine. You know, it felt like they cannot wait to show who they are and what they are and the talent that they have. Not saying it's all going to come together for these guys. Obviously, they're all going to have their their rookie moments, their bumps and bruises along the way. But I think they all feel very confident in themselves. And that's, I think, the kind of one of the building blocks that you need to start to be a good defense. And I think it's really evident when you talk to some of the, even the veteran players, like somebody else mentioned this that I was watching or listening to over the last few days, but Drake London was kind of joked about with Mark Raimondi, my friend from ESPN, joked with Drake London talking about the right tackle spot, whether he, you know, threw his hat in the ring to replace Caleb McGarry, who went down with the injury. And he said, no, I don't want to be blocking James Pierce Jr., which is like, it's kind of interesting that he named James Pierce Jr. as the player that he didn't want to be blocking. And obviously a lot of hype around James Pierce Jr. at this point, but maybe didn't perform considering all the hype in the preseason games, like didn't perform maybe to the extent that some people may have thought. I think it was fine. I don't really care about, you know, the stats, the pressure percentages or whatnot in preseason. But, you know, I think that all these guys are going to come out like ready to prove something, especially Jalen, who was held back so much. It feels like he's kind of like that dog on the leash who's just ready to kind of run free. And so it'll be fun to watch him and all those guys kind of get in action. A guy who was notably unlike who we've talked about in terms of Xavier Watts and Jalen Walker being really excited, hyped, and maybe not exuding that so much with their language, but with what they were saying, you could clearly tell that they were excited to get on the field. And not to say that this player is not excited to get on the field, but Michael Penix in his press conference was just very, I would say, for lack of a better word, boring. And that, to me, is exactly what you want your starting quarterback sounding like going into week one. You do not want your starting quarterback sounding like he's memorized lines on a script, like he's got catchphrases and fun, you know, good things, like positive things, things that you, I mean, media and fans would want to hear. He just seems very himself, very laid back. Again, I think it's a sign of a really good quarterback, someone with the right mentality, who is not feeling the, not even pressure from media, but when you're staring into the barrels of the camera in the back of the room, it doesn't change him. You know, he's just the same guy, and sometimes he cracks a funny joke or he says something humorous. Sometimes he's extremely boring like he was yesterday. But to me, it was the kind of demeanor that you want to see from a starting quarterback. Again, you talk about like when coaches talk about the best quarterbacks on what they are on the field, very neutral, you know, just very like never getting too high, never getting too low. Obviously going to celebrate in certain moments when they succeed and whatnot. But Penix really strikes me as that kind of calm, cool, collected, to borrow a phrase, type of quarterback. And so I thought that yesterday was a good sign in terms of just like what the energy he was putting off, which may not off the top, you know, it wasn't necessarily super positive energy, but it was just neutral, you know, which is what you want, the mindset you want your quarterback to be in heading into the first game of the first season of him as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, I would be a little bit more concerned if he was like talking about getting out there and playing in the way that some of these other players are, who, like, I think, like, when you're playing defense, it is more of like an emotionally driven position to play. Like, if you're playing edge, like, you need to be amped up, you know, you need to be ready to like run into a brick wall. A quarterback, not so much. A quarterback, you need to be like a lot more in that right mind frame to be able to put your teammates in a position where they can, you know, kind of use their physicality. Casey Washington, talked to him. He, it was kind of funny when he was initially asked, first question he asked was, you know, how much are you expecting to play considering you are the quote unquote backup to Darnell Mooney in that X receiver role for this Falcons team? And, he kind of didn't say anything, and his eyes, you could see his eyes kind of glancing, darting around the room, and like a smile kind of eventually cracking on his face. Cause I think that he knew that we knew that he was thinking about what he could say in that moment with regards to an injury for Darnell Mooney, and take that as you will as to what that means for Darnell Mooney, whether the players actually know something more than we do or not, who knows. But Casey Washington, he was overall just, he's an interesting guy to talk to because he takes his time, but when you ask him a question, he will like take his time and think about what he's going to say, and then he'll say it. And he's just very contemplative in that way. And the term that I think of that describes him the most at this point is appreciative of having grown, you know, like that's a lot of what he's talking about, is the way that he has grown in his career to be at this point where I think that he finally feels like he has the coach's trust, like he can go out there and be an impact player because the coaches believe that he's good enough. And that gives him belief that he's also good enough to go out there and play. And I think for a player like him, he's talked about it. He's always been a bit of a slow learner, like always been ahead of the curve physically, but like in terms of understanding the nuances of the position. And this is him saying this in the classroom, whether it's literally academically or with regards to the football side of it, just kind of not really kind of feeling like he is where some other players are. And he obviously comes from, you know, an Illinois program, just wasn't very, you know, doing a lot of the things that you expect these high caliber performers at the receiver position to be able to do. And so I think there's been a little bit of a, I don't know, just I think that there's probably been a little bit of self-doubt that he's had for a long time in his career. That's the way that I'm reading it. And it feels like that self-doubt is gone now. And he feels like he can perform. I think part of that is down to the relationship that he has with Michael Penix, which I think was really important for him last year. I think last year was a big year for Casey Washington in terms of getting to this point where he is now, because he had this quarterback who is now the starter, who he was working with basically individually, or, you know, personally, basically, that, you know, Michael Penix was the scout team quarterback, Casey Washington, one of the primary scout team receivers. And so they had a lot of time to work together, not just on the practice field, but when they're in the hotel ballroom, you know, doing the walkthroughs before games and stuff, to really kind of be able to talk to Mike and to, you know, get feedback from him on what he needs to be doing better and things like that. And now it's come to a point, along with Mooney going out and Washington getting these opportunities to step into the starting unit and being able to perform, he feels like a different kind of player at this point, just in terms of his confidence. And he's got the physical skills to go out there and perform. Has always been that way. Just from the moment, first time we interviewed him last year in OTAs when he was a rookie, I remember just seeing him be like, damn, this guy is physically put together, like big arms, like just like well-built athlete. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that he was so enticing for the Falcons as one of these lottery pick style receivers who hopefully can develop his game into something that allows him to best use his physical gifts. And so seems to really be rounding into that. And I think that he will have a big role to play in this game, because to go back to the Mooney conversation we were having at the top of the show, kind of I'm having my doubts that Mooney will get that clearance that he'll need to be able to play in this game. And if not, Casey Washington's going to be on the field for most of the offensive snaps. So it'll be a big game for him. Another player who will be on the field, and last one we'll talk about today, who will be on the field for all the offensive snaps, hopefully, knock on wood, is Elijah Wilkinson, the new right tackle, formerly guard, who will be replacing Caleb McGarry. And he seemed very kind of chilled out, again, similar to Penix in terms of just not feeling like he's reading from a script, talking about, you know, all the things he needs to say as someone who's stepping into the starting lineup. Like, Elijah Wilkinson has been a starting NFL offensive lineman for a long time. He has like up to, what, 45 starts in his career, 90 games played, something like that. Or maybe I'm confusing the 90 starts and like 45 of those at right tackle. But either way, he's got plenty of experience in this role, not even just like as an offensive lineman, but like specifically at right tackle, which I think is the reason why the Falcons felt comfortable rolling with him as the backup here. And, you know, I asked him about the moment Caleb McGarry goes down, to kind of take yourself back to that practice. And, you know, he did say that there was a little bit of an adjustment period that just happened in that practice because it happened so fast. But after that, you just get yourself in the mindset of, you know, you're playing right tackle now. And it was pretty seamless from that point on. So pretty good things from Elijah Wilkinson. Was asked about Hassan Reddick also, and I thought this was interesting. Because Hassan Reddick, obviously, a very talented pass rusher in this league. And again, I think a less confident player would say, would kind of lavish someone like Reddick with praise when asked about this question. But Elijah Wilkinson said, and I didn't take it as any like disrespect towards Hassan Reddick, but he was like, listen, guys, he's a human like the rest of us. You know, he's a talented player, but, you know, he's not unblockable by any means. And, you know, we're just going to go out there and do our best against him. And that's the kind of thing you want to hear. You know, you just want to hear someone actually say the realistic thing instead of saying something that is so kind of flowery and over the top, it feels like you're kind of being put on with it. So I think the right demeanor to have for a player in his situation. I think that, you know, he surely will need some help, especially if Hassan Reddick is lined up against him all game long, which seems to be maybe in question after he didn't play for personal reasons yesterday. But we'll keep track of that on the injury report as things progress. We'll talk about it more on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show again Sunday morning. Myself and Andy Bunker, 9 a.m., 9 to 11 for all of our 1 o'clock games, although we don't have as many 1 o'clock games this year. But we'll always be on from like 4 hours before kickoff to 2 hours before kickoff will be the slot for myself and Andy, where you can hear us talk a lot more about this Falcons team and all the most latest up-to-date information as what's going on with the injury report and the news and all that. So again, if you can click like and subscribe to 929 The Game's YouTube channel, would very much appreciate that. Thank you guys for listening and engaging with the show all preseason long. We are almost there, just one game away. We're going to be breaking down this game, a little bit of the statistics and the X's and O's tomorrow. So thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you then.